Jesus boy. They made you be born in a manger. Sweet little holy child, didn't know who you was, didn't know you'd come to save us, Lord, to take our sins away.
Wonderful. Thank you, Mrs. Garner. As you can tell, our church is already in Christmas mode. And I enjoy, you know, we don't get to sing Christmas songs very often, though we probably should sing them a little more often than just around Christmas time. And they're part of some good music, good singing. And I hope that if you're here this morning and you've got plans to spend time with loved ones out of town, that you'll not take that for granted. You know, oftentimes I think about, and maybe this is because you get older a little bit, you begin to think about family, begin to think about mama and daddy, and think about all the good times that you had together. And as my parents get a little bit older, I think about all the things that we did around Christmas time. My parents went out of their way to make Christmas special. And by the way, can I just go ahead and say something here? You don't have to have a bunch of gifts under the tree to have a good Christmas. You know, I'm looking around some of our seniors, that some of our senior saints, when they were kids, may not have gotten anything but just no stocking on the chimney with an apple in it. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Listen, we're not celebrating Christmas because of us. We're celebrating Christmas because of Christ. Listen, we ought to be giving Him gifts instead of giving each other gifts. Well, I just figured I'd go ahead and say that and get it out of the way. Take your Bible. Take your Bible. I'll get on track here in a minute. John 1, Romans 11, Colossians 1. While she was singing, I just got thinking about Christmas. What I was saying is, don't take your family for granted. You have no idea whether you'll be like this again next year and you'll have your family around you again next year. Take advantage of the opportunity while you have it. John chapter 1, Romans 11, Colossians chapter 1 is going to be the section of scriptures that we'll read today. And as we read them, I'm going to have you circle, if you believe in writing in your Bible, I'm going to have you circle some phrases as we go along this morning. Would you stand with me out of love and respect for the Word of God? We're going to begin reading in John chapter number 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. If you're new to Christianity, those verses there are talking about none other than Jesus Christ. He said He was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Verse 3. All things were made, I want you to circle this phrase, by Him. And I want you to circle this phrase, without Him was not anything made that was made. I want you to circle these two words, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The Scripture says, by Him, without Him, in Him. Turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 11 and verse 36. I want you to circle some phrases here. We learned in John 1, it says there was nothing made that wasn't made by Him. It says without Him there was nothing made that was made. And then it said in Him was life. Look at Romans chapter 11, verse 36. It says, for, circle these two words, of Him. And, circle these two words, through Him. And these two words, and to Him. So now we've got by Him, in Him, through Him, for Him, to Him, and without Him so far. Are all things to whom be glory, not some of the time, not part time, forever. Amen. Go to Colossians chapter 1, Colossians 1, and beginning in verse 15, speaking of Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Look at this again, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven and are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him. Oh, here's another phrase we need to circle. And for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Do you kind of get that theme as we read here this morning? For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. We've read this morning several passages of Scripture. I had you circle several phrases that I want to focus in on this morning. And I want to talk to you this morning on this subject, using all the phrases that we've circled this morning. I want to talk to you on this subject, seeing the big picture. Seeing the big picture. Now, Father, we come to You this morning in Jesus' name and ask You, Spirit of God, would You fill this building today, please, with Your presence? Would You send revival to our hearts and to our spirit this morning, that it might be open to whatever Your will is? And, oh, Spirit of God, speak to us, guide us, lead us in the way of all truth, as You promised that You would do. Bless the teaching and preaching of Your Word, and we'll give all the glory and praise to Jesus. For it's in His name we ask these things this morning. Amen. You can be seated. How often do we look at a picture only to notice the people in the picture or the main item in the picture? You know, before I stepped out of my office this morning, I picked up a prayer card from one of our new missionary families that we've just taken on, Jerry and Liz Harmon. They're missionaries we've just started supporting to the country of Puerto Rico. And I just happened to pick this up on my way out to kind of just have a little visual for you. You know, and as I begin to look at this picture, most of you can't see it from all at the back there, but it's got the picture of the missionary couple on there. But may I say, that's not all that's in the picture. You see, a lot of times we focus only on the main items that are in the picture. We only focus on the missionary couple. But can I say from your distance, and many times when I'm looking at this, I probably the first time looked at it, I didn't notice the palm trees and didn't notice the crystal blue sea behind them or the mountain range or the white sands. I didn't notice that he had a pin on his collar and her a necklace on her neck. And I didn't notice a lot of these things until I began to study the picture a little bit more. You see, sometimes if we're not careful, what we do is we only look at the items in the picture and not able to see the big picture. You see, what happened is this couple took a photo and a picture of the islands of and the shores of Puerto Rico and used it as a backdrop to kind of get us to understand where they're missionaries to. It adds a little more to the picture when we're able to see that. You see, very few of us study the entire picture many times when we look at it. We only give our attention to certain things and not the details of the picture. We pay little attention to the quality of paper. I doubt very seriously when somebody gave you a picture lately that you looked at and said, cheap paper. Or you looked at it and said, oh, nice paper. You see, most of us don't think about things like that. You know what we do when somebody gives us a picture, we look at it, oh, that's nice. Because we've looked at it, we saw the main item, and that's it. That's nice. And yet, can I say to you, dear folks, this morning, that we all around us is the creation of God. All around us are God's people that He's put on this earth. And listen, today, many times, we only look at the things and see the things that we want to see. We don't stop and look at the big picture of things. You see, most of us are focused on one thing within the picture and one thing only that gets our attention. The scriptures that I've shared with you today are opening up to us, I think this morning, the big picture of how that we need to see things as God sees them. You know, we tend to focus on the items within the picture of our life instead of seeing the big picture as God sees it. Many of us are sitting here this morning. We came this morning. We came and sat in the pew this morning thinking only about what is going on in our world. Only what's going on in our life and not thinking, Lord, I wonder how the people of God are doing this morning. I wonder how the health of certain people are this morning. Wonder about old brother so-and-so, didn't see him. I wonder if he's okay this morning. Wonder if old so-and-so, I didn't see them this morning. They've been struggling a little bit. Wonder how they're doing. You know, most of us didn't come to church thinking like that. Why? Because we don't see the big picture. We only see what's the items that we want to see within the overall picture and framework of God. From day one, may I say to you this morning, God never lost focus of the big picture. Within that big picture this morning, may I say that His eternal desire for man was simply to love Him sincerely. God never lost the focus of the big picture. He created that first man, that first woman for a purpose and one purpose only, and that was so that they might love Him sincerely and that He might have someone to love as well. You see, God gave man a perfect beginning. God gave man an opportunity to fulfill that sincere love relationship. And as we know, man wasted a perfect opportunity that he had to sustain fellowship with God for all eternity. Well, God had to sever that relationship temporarily. Can I say he never lost focus? He never lost vision of the big picture. You see, God immediately provided an answer for the separation that took place because of sin. You see, the big picture has always been about the Father. It's always been about the Son and the Holy Ghost. The big picture, dear folks, is not only about us. We just happen to be a palm tree within the overall picture. We just happen to be a grain of sand on the seashore in the overall picture. God sees the big picture today. You see, there's never been another picture in the room. Wouldn't you think it quite odd if you walked into someone's house and they only had one picture on the wall sitting in the middle of the living room? And you looked up and you say, think to yourself, you know what, that's kind of odd. They only got one picture in here. Well, maybe it's the picture they like. Maybe it's the only picture that they wanted. I want to say to you today that, you know what, there's only one picture that we need to be focused on. And it's the same picture that God has drawn from eternity past. And that one picture has all the elements that we need to know about God and His desire and His will and way for our lives. You see, in the picture that's drawn by our text verses today, we can see clearly the person of Jesus Christ and His involvement, listen to me now, in everything from beginning through eternity. He's been involved in it all. I want you to take your Bible, go back to John chapter 1, if you would please, for just a moment. John chapter 1, I want you to follow along with me this morning, because I want to try to help you this morning, congregation. Listen to me. I want you to be able to see the big picture. I want you to see the big picture of all that's going on. And did you notice in verse number 3, John says all things, not some things, not a few things. He said all things were made, listen now, by Him. All things were made by Him. That little word by means through the action of. 5 different times in Colossians chapter 1, the Holy Spirit was led there to pen 5 more times in those few verses the phrase by Him, by Him, by Him. That little phrase just simply means through the action of. And may I say to you this morning that the Lord Jesus Christ, when He stepped out on nothing and created all things, did you notice it said that there was without Him was nothing, anything made that was made? All things were made by Him and for Him. You see, through the action of Him, can I say first of all this morning that Jesus Christ had the authority to act? Do you know He had the authority to do what He said that He did? You go into John chapter 17, you find Jesus, and by the way, John 17 is the Lord's Prayer. Amen. You say, well, what about that prayer we were taught as a kids, our Father which art in heaven? That's a model prayer. The Lord's Prayer is John 17. When you go find the main content, you know what He basically boils it all down to? He boils it all down to this one factor, that He's in existence, He's here for one reason and one reason only, and that's to glorify the Father. You see, He had the authority to do what He did. May I say to you, not only did He have the authority to act, Jesus had the power to act. Matthew 28:18, Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. So not only did He have the authority, He had the power. Oh, can I say one more about this? Jesus had the reason as well. So not only did He have the authority to act, He had the power to act. Listen, He had a reason to act. You see, God wanted to love and be loved. And He wanted to bless and be worshiped. So Jesus Christ, by Him, all things consist. That means through Him. That's the reason the Scripture says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. And I like this, all things. All things. You say, preacher, who made this? Jesus made it. Who made this? Jesus made it. You say, wait a minute, I thought He didn't come into existence until Christmas Day. No. Did you notice the Scripture says, in the beginning was the Word? There's never been a time that Jesus Christ has not existed. You say, but isn't that, if He's God and God the Father is God and the Holy Ghost is God, and we serve 3 gods? No. The Scripture is very plain. There are 3 that bear record in heaven. The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these 3 are one. There's one God who manifests Himself in 3 persons, and praise God for it. You see, it's always been about the Father. It's always been about the Son. It's always been about the Holy Ghost. You see, it's always been about glorifying the Father, accepting the Son, and following the Holy Ghost. That's what it's been about. That's the reason He used the phrase, by Him, through the action of. Thank God that through Jesus He created a world full of beauty for us to enjoy, all because He loved us. Now, some of you are about as weird as I am. We take the new calendars. I like to get calendars. And boy, they got the pictures of the mountains. They got the pictures of the little meadows with the flowers. And I like to thumb through them and look at the calendar pictures. He said, boy, you are weird. Now, some of you just not shaking your head because you don't want to admit you do the same thing. I've seen some of you in the store flipping through the calendars. You see, God created a world full of beauty for us to enjoy and thank God for it. Why? Because by Him all things were made. Let me tell you something. When we get a grip on that, understand that there's not a thing in existence that didn't exist and wasn't created by the hand of Christ, by the hand of God. It said by Him. See, we got to get the full picture here. We got to get the whole picture. You say, what? Who was there on the day of creation, preacher? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. All had a part. All were there on the day of creation. I just wanted to let you know the big picture says, by Him were all things made. By Jesus Christ. Would you turn, if you would, to Romans chapter 11? Let's look at another phrase here I had you circle. It says, not only by Him all things were made, but did you notice it said, for of Him. By Him, through the action of Him, just simply means derived or coming from. It says that all things are for of Him, or derived or coming from Him. You say, well, what's coming? What did we learn from the life of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, I don't have time to tell you everything that we've learned, but I'll tell you a few things that we learned. First of all, that those things that we've learned about the life of Jesus, that of Him are all things. Can I say, first of all, Jesus showed us how to love. You didn't even know how to love till He showed you how to love. You didn't even love Him until He first loved you, according to 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 19. You see, He showed us how to love. You saw, how did He show us how to love, preacher? I'll tell you. One day He took a cross upon His back and He walked up Golgotha's hill, and there was nailed on that cross for your sins and mine. And as He stretched His hands, the Bible said He opened not His mouth. And they nailed Him to that cross, and as they stood that cross up, He looked toward heaven. And I'll tell you how I know that He taught us how to love, because He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And then He bowed His head just before He gave up the ghost. The Holy Ghost recorded in Scripture, He whispered three words, it is finished. You see, I'm here to tell you, not only are by things, all things by Him, but can I say all things are of Him. We learn to love because He taught us how to love. Can I say also He taught us how to love people? May I remind you about a woman that was cast at His feet, that was caught in the very act of adultery? The law said, stone her. Matter of fact, the old Pharisees, they were too anxious to carry out the law. And I want to just stop here and do a commercial. So listen to me. Sometimes too many of us are too anxious to go ahead and pass judgment instead of looking inside ourselves and evaluating ourselves. Too many of us this morning came to church. You know what was in our pocket? Not the Bible, rocks. It was in our pocket. Say, what did we come to church with rocks in our pocket? Looking for somebody to conk on the head with one of them. We're too anxious to throw stones, folks, instead of coming and doing what Jesus said. You know what? He taught us how to love. He looked down at that adulterous woman. Those guys were ready to bash her head in with a rock. He said, if you're out sin, cast the first stone. Those guys dropped those stones and walked away. Why? Because they knew they were filthy in their heart themselves. Yeah, they had the outward appearance of a religious individual. They had the outward appearance of being righteous, but you know what? Inside, Jesus said they were full of dead men's bones. It's because we come to church with a suit on. It's because we come to church with a nice set of clothes on don't mean we're clean on the inside. We can be just as filthy as a devil on the inside. Come and sit in the church pew. Jesus looked at that woman. He said, where are thine accusers? She looked around. I don't see anything but rocks. He says, you know what? They didn't condemn you, and neither do I. Now listen, He didn't end it there. He said, go and sin no more. You know what he taught us there, folks? He taught us how to love. He taught us how to love people. He taught us that people are going to fall, and people sometimes are going to find themselves in the prodigal situation, and they're going to find themselves in the hog pen sometimes. It's not my job to go find them and mash their face down in the hog slop. My job is to love them and care for them. You see, I'm just here to tell you, the Scripture says all things were not only by Him, listen now, they were of Him. He taught us how to love. Can I say also He taught us how to live? He taught us how to live and walk the Christian life. You know what Jesus' main purpose was? He said, oh, I can't wait. I've been waiting for this for years to find out. What was His main purpose? To seek and to save that which was lost. His whole purpose of existence was nothing more than to provide salvation so that people could be saved. Greatest soul winner in the Bible. He said, oh, I've been waiting for this one too, preacher. Who's the greatest soul winner in the Bible? Jesus was. He taught us how to love, but He taught us how to live. Why? Because all things are not just by Him, they're of Him. They're of Him. They've derived from Him. They come from Him. So He taught us how to love, and He taught us how to live. Oh, listen now. Not only did He teach us how to love, teach us how to live. Listen now. He showed us how to leave. You say, oh, what is that, preacher? Can I remind you that in Philippians chapter 2, that the command of God is simply to this, to believers. Jesus taught us how to leave this earth. He said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, listen now, but made Himself of no reputation. See, we're so busy, we can't even go out and tell people about Christ because we're too busy about building our reputation. You know, let me tell you what's going to happen to that reputation one day. God's going to destroy that reputation. Hey, you know what? When Jesus left, they could have got their hands on him. They'd have killed Him again. But you know what? He taught us how to leave. No reputation. Next, what else He said? He took upon Himself the form of a servant. You know what? When I check out of this life, you know what I'm going to check out with? I'm going to check out with no reputation. I want to check out with being a servant. And the Scripture says, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself. You say, preacher, what is the opposite of humble? Pride. So He taught us how to leave. He taught us how to leave with no reputation, taught us how to leave as a servant, to have a humble mind. And then He said, and He became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So not only are all things that were made by Him, but may I say, all things are of Him. They came from Him. He taught us how to love, taught us how to live, and He taught us how to leave this earth. We're to leave this earth as unprofitable servants. I know you've heard this till you're sick of it, but I'm going to say it again. You ain't taking nothing, will you? Okay? You're not taking anything with you. I remember an old preacher told a story one time, a very wealthy man that died, and one of the church members called him after the service and said, preacher, you know, brother so-and-so, he was a wealthy man. What did he leave? The old preacher looked at him and said, everything. He left everything. He said, well, preacher, you mean I can't take anything out of this world? Yeah, you can take something out. You say, oh, goody, this is the third thing I've been waiting for. What can I take out of this earth with me? Only the souls you've won. That's it. Nothing else is going to leave this earth with you except the people that you've influenced for Jesus Christ. You see, we know nothing of how to love or how to live or how to leave if not for Jesus. Well, look here, if you would, if you're still there in Colossians chapter 1. Look at Colossians 1 again. I said all things were not just by Him, but all things were of Him. If you're there in Colossians 1, I want you to notice what He says here. In the end of verse 16, He says, all things were created by Him and for Him. That word for means intended to be used as. You know what God's intention was? To create you. Not just to have a love relationship with you, but His intention was to use you to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Man has fallen now, and you know what? God, folks, listen, the Lord is not going to come down and go door to door again. The Lord's not going to come down any longer. You know what He's going to do? He's going to use you and I. Your hands are His hands. Your feet are His feet. Your voice is His voice. So I think I'm just going to stay home, watch the football game. And I'm going to stay home and do this. Well, you know, we all fall into that trap sometimes. But you know what? If your mama was dying, she's on a hospital bed, and it was last night, Saturday night, about 8 o'clock, and you had to make a choice of the Cowboys or mama, what choice you going to make? You see, what I'm saying is, it all boils down and everything's relative, because when it affects you, then it's important. What if somebody else's mama was dying? They called and you said, listen, mama's on her deathbed. Can you go see her? I will at halftime. I'll go see her just as soon as the ball game's over. No, you know what? All things were not just by Him and of Him. All things are for Him. Intended to be used as. God's original intent was that we be the object of His love, His favor, His blessings, and His focus for all eternity. You see, all things have been made for Him. Listen now. Therefore, if all things are made for Him, then He reserves all rights. He reserves all rights to operation as He desires. That means He gets to move as he desires. That means He gets to operate as He desires to operate. You know, Romans chapter 8, verse number 29, the Scripture says that we are to be conformed to the image of His Son. Why? Because we were created for Him. Not for me. Not for someone else. We were created for Him. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 1 and 2. You know it like the back of your hand. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world. Listen now. But be ye transformed. Come out of that cocoon like a butterfly. You went in a caterpillar. Come out a butterfly. That's called a metamorphosis. Can I say that can't happen unless there's been a metamorphosis in your life concerning Jesus Christ? We're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 10 says, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Unto good works. You see, God has total control over all things. He's not desiring that anyone be left behind. You exist and I exist because He allows us to exist. The ultimate sign, listen now, of disrespect to someone is to be ungrateful. Is to be ungrateful. You know, it's a shame unto God how we treat other people. It's a shame unto God how we treat the things of God. We don't think anything about doing something and that's not appropriate. I'm just here to tell you, all things were not just by Him and of Him. But listen to me today, congregation. This morning, I want to let you know to see the big picture. Everything is for Him. They're for Him. Intended to be used as. Well, go back to Romans chapter 11. Let's look at another one real quick. Romans chapter 11. I said all things, the Scripture says, looking at the big picture, are by Him. We've looked at not only are they by Him, but they're of Him. They're for Him. Look in Romans chapter 11 in verse number 36. Romans 11 in verse number 36. It says, for of Him and through Him, and this is what I want to focus on for just a second, and to Him. We've learned that all things were made by Him and all things are of Him and all things are for Him. But can I say that all things are to be to Him? Which means simply in the direction of, that everything that we do, the Scripture says whatsoever we eat, whatsoever we drink, we're to do it all to the glory of God. Everything funnels to Him. All of the glory, all of the praise. There are people who deserve our attention, but you listen to me, there are none who deserves more attention than Jesus. The President of the United States will walk out, people will flock around him, give him their attention. A professional athlete will walk out on the street, people will flock around, wanting his autograph, giving him attention. But can I say very few people today are giving Jesus the attention he deserves? Hey, may I say this morning, we're to promote his person. John in Revelation, I love the first chapter of Revelation because John just unloads in that first chapter. And listen to what he said in verse number 6. He said, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. He used the words glory and they used the words dominion. Listen to me, congregation. We're to promote the person of Jesus Christ. We're to promote his character, his attributes. Listen, you say, like what character traits? Well, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And may I say, salvation is the same yesterday, today, and forever. There's no difference. We're to promote his attributes, his greatness, his goodness, his holiness. Listen, when are we going to get back to realizing that we serve a holy God and that our sin offends him? Sometimes now we don't even blush at sin no more. We just do it and move on. We're quick to lie and cheat and deceive and all of the various things that we do. Listen, that doesn't promote the Lord. We're to do the things that promote his person and uplift his goodness and his greatness and his holiness. Not only are we to promote his person because all things are to be directed to him, we're to present his purpose. You know what his purpose is? His purpose is to promote peace. You ever see the little bumper stickers? Vision, world peace. Well, I've tried, can't. Because there's not going to be any peace on this earth until the Lord returns. And he's going to set up his kingdom. And there he shall rule and reign for 1,000 years. And the lion will lay down with the ox, and the sheep shall graze with a lion in the field, and children will play with the asp, the scripture says. You know what that is? That's peace. That's when there's going to be peace on the earth, but not before. But we're to present his purpose. His desire is for people to be happy and joyful. The only way that can happen is in Jesus Christ. See, we're not here to add anything to his majesty or we're not created as a sign to give direction. What we're here for is simply to promote his person, to present his purpose. And let me just say this and I'll move on. And we're here to participate in the plan. We're here to participate in the plan of God. Well, I've said that all things are by him, of him, for him, to him. Go back to John 1:4 quickly. John 1:4. Did you notice it says here in John chapter 1, verse number 4, that in him was, does your Bible say L-I-F-E, life? In him was life. Say, preacher, what does that mean? Well, the scripture said in him was life and the life was the light of men. That means, you know what? If I don't know the Lord, I'm in darkness. If I don't have Jesus inside, I'm walking in darkness. I can't see where I'm going. You ever been in a dark room and tried to walk around? Man, I got a dent on one of my shins from years ago walking in the dark and hit a footstool. Say, what'd you do? I quoted scripture just like you would have. Now, the first thing we do, we walk in the dark and we run into something. First thing out of my mouth, who put that in here? Well, it's been there all the time. You say, well, what was the difference? It's just because you weren't walking with the light on. You was walking in darkness. You want to know how to get around things and keep from putting a dent on your shin? Cut the light on. You say, well, how do I do that? That's what the Holy Spirit does. Can I say that in Christ is life? This is the spiritual DNA to living. There is no other way, Jesus said, but his way. Can I remind you that something that is dead requires a divine intervention in order to live? Say, preacher, I'm looking around here. All these people are alive. Well, their body may be alive, but their spirit may be dead. You see, in Christ is life. In Him, within the confines of, is life. There's light. May I say, many here today are looking for somebody to love them. Man can't love you like Jesus can love you. You come to Him today, I promise you, He'll show you love like you've never experienced before. Well, let me give you these last two and I'm done. Go to Romans chapter 11 real quick. I said that all things were by Him, of Him, for Him, to Him, in Him. Look at this one. Romans 11, verse 36. For of Him and through Him. Through Him. Jesus spoke these words in John 14, 6. You'll recognize them. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Me. John chapter 10, verse number 9. Jesus said, I am the door. By Me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Revelation chapter 3, verse number 20, the Scripture says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear My voice and open the door, He said, I will come into him and sup with him and he with Me. You say, what is that talking about, preacher? I'm talking about that all things not only by Him and of Him and for Him and to Him and in Him. I'm saying all things are through Him. That word through just means by the way of. There is no other way. You want joy? It's through Jesus. You want salvation? It's through Jesus. You want answered prayer? It's through Jesus. Because all things are not just by Him and of Him and for Him and to Him and in Him. All things are through Him. And when I get home in just a moment, I can go climb in the upstairs window if I want, but why would I want to do that? I can bust the window out of the side of the house. I can go in that way if I want to. Well, why would I want to do that when there's a door to go through? You see, the thing about it is, Jesus said, if you go up any other way, you're nothing but thieves and robbers. He said, if you're going to get to heaven, you're going through Me, or you ain't going. And that leads me to the last one. You don't have to turn there. In John chapter 1, verse number 3, it says, without Him was nothing made that was made. And may I remind you this morning, that word without means with none or none of, which means there is no other way. And without Him, it's an eternity without Christ. 1 John 5 and verse 12, he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. May I remind you that in John chapter 15 and verse number 5, Jesus said, without Me you can do nothing. Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 15, the Scripture is very plain that whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Pretty much nails it down, doesn't it? Not only are all things by Him and of Him and for Him and to Him and in Him and through Him, but can I say this morning that you're not getting anything this book talks about without Him? Not a thing. Remember, Jesus met with His disciples. The teaching got hard. People began to turn away from the Lord. He turned to His disciples. He said, will you go away also? And old Pete spoke up, praise God. He said, to whom shall we go? For you have the words of eternal life. You know what? He had enough sense to realize, you know what? We ain't going anywhere without you, partner. Ain't no way of salvation except for you. We don't know how to love. We don't know how to live. We don't know how to leave this world. We don't even know how to be saved without Him. And may I remind you this morning, just look at the big picture. Because all things are by Him, of Him, for Him, in Him, to Him, through Him. And I just want to say, when you leave here today, nothing's going to happen without Him. Would you bow your heads for just a moment? heads bowed, eyes closed, no one's looking around. How many can say this morning, preacher, I'm a child of God, I'm a born-again Christian. I remember vividly the day that I put my faith and trust in Christ. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm happy about it. I want you to slip your hand way up high and say, preacher, that's me. I'm not ashamed of it. I'm a child of God. I'm a born-again Christian. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Now, Father, many, many hands were raised in this auditorium, but there were a few that could not raise their hand. And Lord, I don't want them to leave this place today without knowing Jesus. I don't want them to leave this place understanding and seeing now the big picture, that all that we see, all the creation around us was made by Him. And all that we see and all that we feel and all that we are today, all things are just by Him. But Lord, we know that in Him is life, and the life was the light of men. Many people have trusted you as Savior. There are some that did not know, could not raise their hand. My prayer is that, Lord, they would see the big picture and realize that without Christ, and it's eternity without God. But Lord, as children of God, may we see the big picture and realize there are people lost without God in our neighborhood and on our job and some even in our own families. When's the last time, Lord God, that we've spoken to them about their soul? Would you have your way now in this invitation time? Now with heads bowed and eyes closed, and no one's looking around but me. Some of you could not raise your hand, and my dear friend, I don't want to see you go off into eternity without God, and I don't want to see you leave this place without knowing Jesus Christ. God sent you here for a reason today. Would you let me pray for you? You're here this morning. You'd say, preacher, I don't know for sure if I died and go to heaven. I want to go, but I just don't know. I can't go back and put my finger on a specific time that I've put my faith and trust in Christ. And you'd say, preacher, would you pray for me? I need prayer. No one's looking but me. I want you to slip your hand way up high and you say, that's me. That's me. Just slip it up. God bless you. You can put your hand down. Who will join these two? Say, preacher, that's me. I can't honestly say that I've been saved. Can't put my finger on a time that I've been born again. Please pray for me. Just slip your hand way up high and say, that's me. Let me pray for you. Anybody else like that? Just slip it up. Slip it up. Anybody else? Anybody else? All right? Maybe there's some here this morning that have already been saved and you're a child of God. And you say, but preacher, I've been saved, but I've never been baptized after I got saved. I know it's the right thing to do. Somebody told me out of the Bible and showed me out of the Bible. It's the right thing to do. I've never done that. I need to take that step of faith. Would you pray with me that I'll get that done for God? How many would be honest before God and say, preacher, pray for me. I need to be baptized. I'm saved. I'm a Christian, but never been baptized. Pray for me. I want you to slip your hand way up high. Say, that's me. That's me. Just slip it up. Slip it up. Slip it up. Slip it up. God bless you. Anybody else? Anybody else will join these? Anybody else? All right. Now with heads bowed and eyes closed, one last thing. I wonder how many would say, preacher, I guess maybe I haven't been seeing the big picture. You know, maybe some of us have been taking things for granted in our life. Maybe you've taken your salvation for granted. Maybe you've taken your home. And some of you teenagers, maybe you've taken your parents for granted and all the things that God has provided for you. How many would say, preacher, to some degree, I guess I haven't been looking at the big picture. I've been really just focusing on a certain area of my life. How many would say, preacher, I've kind of lost the focus on the big picture, but I need to get refocused on the goodness and see the big picture as God sees it. How many would say, preacher, pray for me. I need to get back on track in some areas of my life. Won't you slip your hand way up high? Say, that's me. That's me. Just slip it up, slip it up, slip it up, slip it up, slip it up. God bless you. God bless you. You can put your hands down. Father, I want to thank you this morning in the name of Jesus for the privilege of being able to come to church and be able to open the Word of God up and be able to find out what you have for us this morning. My prayer is simply, Lord, that you'd have your way in this invitation. There's some that need to be saved. Save them. Some need to come to be baptized. I pray that they would come. I pray that during this time of year, this Christmas season, when the birth of our Savior is on our heart and mind, Lord God, that we might not leave without understanding the importance and the focus of what we're doing here. Would you have your way now? Save those who need to be saved. Decisions need to be made. Some have lost their focus of the big picture. I pray that they would come and settle that in their heart. Whatever your will is for this invitation, do it now, we pray. We'll give all the glory and praise to thee. And with the heads bowed and eyes closed, let's stand to our feet. As we stand to our feet, I'm going to ask Brother Shaddix to begin to sing. And as the song is being sung, you come. You come. If you raised your hand and you meant business for God, would you join me here? Would you join me here at the altar this morning? And lay on the altar these needs? That you raised your hand and say, "Preacher, I need to do right. Need to live right." Would you come? You come. Maybe you're here this morning. You brought someone with you. You're not sure that they know the Lord. Would you grab them by the hand and bring them down that somebody might show them how to be saved? That somebody might show them how to put their faith and trust in Christ?
Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim.
You come.
In the light of His glory and grace.
Sing it through again, Brother Shaddix.
Through death into life.